Reform Voices of Torah, Union for Reform Judaism, Shabbat, January 5th, 2013, 23 Tevet, 5773, Shemot, Exodus 1:1 through 6:1, Haftarah, Isaiah 27:6 through 28:13, and 29:22 through 23. Devar Torah, Holding Out for a Hero, by Marcy N. Bellows. If the Book of Exodus were a rock opera, and don't we all wish it were, it might just start with the Israelite slaves joining together singing the words that Bonnie Tyler made so famous in the 1980s. Where have all the good men gone, and where are all the gods? Where's the streetwise Hercules to fight the rising odds? Isn't there a white knight upon a fiery steed? Late at night I toss and I turn and I dream of what I need. I need a hero. I'm holding out for a hero till the end of the night. He's gotta be strong, and he's gotta be fast, and he's gotta be fresh from the fight. As I snap out of my musical theater moment, I'm struck by how much of the Exodus story, especially in terms of how we traditionally teach and conceptualize it, is a story about passive Israelites who collectively hold out for a hero. We learn how they work endlessly, toiling and suffering in the desert sun, satisfying the cruel demands of a pharaoh who did not know Joseph. At first glance, there are few instances of action and heroism until Moses grows into adulthood and learns of his fate to be the redeemer of the Jewish people. However, a closer reading of the text itself allows us to celebrate a number of important acts of resistance, bravery, and compassion. Even more interestingly, each one is performed by a woman. Following the Pharaoh's pronouncement that all sons born to Israelite women were to be killed immediately, we quickly hear about the courageous rebellion of two midwives, Shiphrah and Puah. The midwives did not follow Pharaoh's command and instead saved each baby boy. When questioned by their king, they shrugged off his concern, essentially answering that the Hebrew women gave birth much too quickly for them to attend to the mothers. Unfortunately, the text does not reveal much about these two women. In fact, there is some disagreement about who they might have been. Dr. Tamara Cohn Eskenazi writes, "It is unclear from the wording of the Hebrew whether they are Hebrew women who work as midwives or Egyptian midwives who serve the Hebrews. Alternatively, it is possible that the narrator here is mentioning the names of the overseers of two guilds of midwives or the names of the guilds themselves. Either way, it is significant, while the pharaoh's name is not mentioned, the names of these two women are preserved. Despite this lack of information, the Torah text still highlights Shiphrah and Puah's life-saving actions and the role that they play in allowing Moses to survive his birth. Against this backdrop, we meet Yocheved and Amram, who are already parents of two young children, Aaron and Miriam, and are now giving birth to a third child. One might ask, if the Israelites knew that such a terrible decree had been made, why would they continue having children? Well, the rabbis ask this question as well. Here's where one of our greatest heroines, Miriam, enters the stage. The rabbis believe that Amram was a great scholar of his time, and thus when he heard of Pharaoh's plan to kill all baby boys, he divorced his wife, ensuring that no more children would be born to them. All other families soon followed. However, little 5-year-old Miriam revealed her prophetic abilities when she reprimanded Amram. "Father, your decree is harsher than that of Pharaoh. Pharaoh only decreed against the males, but you have decreed against both the males and the females. Because all the Israelites withdrew from their wives, neither sons nor daughters would come into the world. Pharaoh decreed only for this world, but you decreed both for this world and the next. A baby that was born and died as a result of Pharaoh's decree would reach the world to come, but an unborn child would not attain this." Babylonian Talmud Sota 12a. Yocheved bravely gives birth to a newborn Israelite boy. She refuses to allow him to be killed and hides him for 3 months. This time must have been terrifying, bringing to mind the children hidden during the years of the Holocaust. Every cry must have been a fright, as if he would be discovered by Egyptian guards at any moment. Nonetheless, Miriam's prophesying continued. When my brother Moses was born, our family's house was filled with light. Although I was only 5 years old, I prophesied that this newborn child would become a great leader and redeem our people from slavery. Jochebed lovingly builds a small ark for Moses to float down the river, presumably to safety. The Talmud even places Miriam on the banks of the Nile, mindfully watching over her little brother as he floats towards the royal palace in his new life as the son of Pharaoh's daughter and his destiny. We add to this list of heroines Pharaoh's daughter when we recall how she decides to raise an obviously Hebrew child as her own. This was in direct opposition to her father, yet this does not seem to affect her. We add Zipporah, Moses' Midianite wife, who circumcises her son Gershom herself so that he could take his place as part of the Israelite community. These are six women imbued with incredible strength, tenacity, and chutzpah. They are capable of receiving divine inspiration and acting on it. They don't just wait for a streetwise Hercules or a white knight on his steed. Rather, they take control of the situation to the best of their ability, and they make change happen for themselves. These women, our ancestors, inspire us to remember the power that each of us, male and female, young and old, rich and poor, holds in our hands. We need not wait for someone else to save us. Rather, we can do it right here and right now ourselves. Rabbi Marcy N. Bellows serves as the rabbi at Temple B'nai Torah in Wantagh, New York. She also writes the Reform Really column featured bimonthly on the New York Jewish Week website.